to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good on you, Johnny Bowden. Good morning, everyone. It is Thursday, the 4th of March, and what a night of sport we had on the box last night over in New Zealand. The Aussies were doing great things in both the netball and in the cricket. We saw Stacey Marinkovic claim her first win as coach of the Diamonds, while over in Wellington, Aaron Finch returned to form, and fellow Victorian Glenn Maxwell, well, he was out in the centre and he was breaking chairs in the stands with sixes like this.
Oh, he got that. That's six.
Absolutely hammered it. Maximum to entertain this evening.
Four boy, throw it back.
I reckon this has gone through the seat, boys.
It has.
Wow.
I'll make a donation and an apology for breaking a seat. Like, you know, I hadn't hit too many in the middle, so I was happy just to get it over the fence, so that was fine.
Absolutely flush. He hit it. He then signed it. They're going to auction that chair in the coming weeks. Ashton Agar, don't forget him, 6 for 30. We'll tell you more about that in a moment. Much closer to home, though, in our own sporting precinct, the Perth Wildcats, they held off South East Melbourne Phoenix by 1 point in the NBL Cup last night to move to the top of the table. However, it wasn't without controversy in the final moments.
Shot clock switched off.
Have a look at this one again. No, we don't need that. That is not worthy of the game we've had.
There you go, Gazy, we do not need that. We'll update you all on the NBL Cup ladder very shortly. The show does continue in Melbourne tonight with another big doubleheader, plus the Melbourne Storm. They've launched their season last night. The AFL preseason kicks off at Marvel Stadium tonight, and we're going to head over to the ditch to recap a brilliant sporting night for Australia, all before 6 o'clock, with plenty coming up.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
We are 23 minutes away from 6 o'clock on this Thursday morning, the 4th of March. Pre-season footy kicks off tonight. We're 1 week away from the NRL season kicking off. Before all of that, though, Daniel Harford and Adam White will bring you the best Breakfast Club show of the week this Thursday morning. Around 6:30, we are heading over to New Zealand, and Kate Maloney, the successful Australian Diamond, will join the guys after a 45-36 win last night. It was dominant in game two from the Aussies. They set up the win in the opening half, leading 30-16 at half time. We'll then find you a winner like we did yesterday on the early mail. We'll do so again today with Phil Stokes racing at Pakenham and at Werribee. And as well, on Thursdays, you know what else we do? We add the Greyhounds into the mix. And David Burnett will join us as we take a look at Sandown tonight for the Dogs. And then after 7 o'clock, Scotty Gallant from the Herald Sun will jump into the studio as the third wheel. We'll check in with the Melbourne Rebels, who are hoping to turn around that heartbreaking loss in round two last week with a win this weekend against the Brumbies. Rocket Eade has got a few thoughts on the new stand rule, the man on the mark that cannot move. He'll join us as well as discuss that and a preview of the preseason and how he's felt. Most clubs have gone during the shortened preseason training 6 week block, but it all kicks off tonight with Carlton and St Kilda. The Melbourne Victory are back in action this weekend after falling short to Western United last week. They'll face Melbourne City at Marvel Stadium on Saturday night. They're at their lowest ebb, I reckon, the Melbourne Victory, and hoping to turn that around this weekend. Callum McManaman is going to join the guys, the Melbourne Victory forward from the UK. After 8 o'clock, the Victorian Sport Preview continues with Marcus Harris. They're back at the MCG tomorrow. They take on Tasmania. I think Adam White will be in the commentary box calling all the action on KO, so you'll be able to watch it all unfold. And I wonder if they'll take that momentum from day four, where Peter Hanscom managed to produce a match-saving 124 along with Seb Gotch at the other end to keep New South Wales at bay and turn that game into a draw. So hopefully they can turn that draw into a win with some momentum against Tasmania at the MCG. And then just before we wrap it up, we have a new 1 kilometre record holder in athletics, Lyndon Hall. She clocked on Tuesday night at the Box Hill Bash, 2 minutes 35. So that is lightning quick. and Katrina Bissett, who was in charge of organising and pioneering this 1 kilometre time trial run in a hope to raise funds for Lifeline, will also join the guys as well to discuss the record-breaking run and all the donations that they received going towards Lifeline. They were hoping to raise $30,000. So that's all coming up after 6 o'clock this morning. Daniel Harford and Adam White. Before that, though, we need to wrap up the sport of the night, and it starts in Wellington with the cricket. Aaron Finch returned to form, although if you were only watching one ball when you saw the first one, you might have questioned whether he was. He was nearly given out. LBW umpire's call kept him at the crease. He then went on to make 69 from 44 balls, hit him to all parts of the ground, including a switch hit six to bring up his half century. He spoke to Fox Sports straight after the game, straight after the win, which kept Australia in contention after game three.
Oh, yeah, it's always nice when you contribute to a win. I think that's the most important thing. I suppose that partnership with Maxi probably allowed us to go a little bit deeper, which was nice. But taking wickets throughout the innings with the ball is the most important thing. And when you've got a firepower that New Zealand have got, you have to be consistent with and aggressive. And when we did that nicely tonight. Oh, when you get wickets in the power play, I think that and having the rate at 10.5, 11 already, New Zealand had to take a few risks and they had to keep taking them even when you bowled good overs. So that's just the difference. You squeeze a team in the ring and you make them take chances early in their innings. And I suppose that's the difference.
I thought Riley Meredith as well on debut was extremely impressive with ball in hand.
Yeah, he certainly was. He's shown what he can do in the Big Bash, and for him to get an opportunity in international cricket is brilliant for him. Everyone's been bloody excited to watch him go about it, and he's a ripping fellow and deserves all his success. We knew that we weren't too far off in the last game. We were pretty disappointing in the first one, but to keep improving, I think that's all we can ask at the moment. We've got a bit younger side, but that's no excuse. We still come here expecting to win, and to be 2-1 is okay. We're still alive in the series.
We are still alive. The next game is on Friday. For Aaron Finch, it was his first T20 half century in 27 games. And throughout the night, because of obviously no crowds, you could hear everything a lot more clearly, and you would have heard through the stump mic him starting to commentate to himself just to get his way through the early part of his innings and find that form again. 69 from 44 for Aaron Finch. Well, for Ashton Agar, prior to last night, his first six overs of the series, he'd conceded 62 runs and taken no wickets. And last night, he shot to the best figures ever recorded by an Australian. 6 for 30 from his four overs. It helped keep New Zealand down at 144, chasing 208. Ashton Agar was announced man of the match, and he spoke to Fox Sports straight after the win.
Yeah, it's nice. Always nice to get some wickets, particularly when you go wicketless in the first two. But I was lucky. We had 200 on the board. It always makes my job a lot easier. And the boys bowled beautifully up front. So lucky to have a great team around me. I think maybe in the past it would have got to me a bit. But now I think I've played enough to move on, take it as a new game, a new chance to do something good out here. Unfortunately, it worked that way. Started having the courage to toss the ball up a little bit. I got something out of it. So a good lesson out of today that I can take on moving forwards.
Ashton Agar looking forward to Friday, 6 for 30, the best figures ever recorded by an Australian. We heard the highlight of Glenn Maxwell smashing a six that smashed a chair. He'll now auction that off after they gave it to him in the post-game. He did sign it, so they will auction it off and hopefully get some solid funds for that. When he did come to the crease, he was a little slow getting off the mark. We see the big show every time he does step out there, just smack him to all parts of the ground. Made just 5 runs from his first 9 balls, and then 65 off his next 20 that included a run of 28 off a Jimmy Neesham over. He was asked after the game about his slow start to his innings on Fox Sports.
It was pretty ugly at the start, but once I was able to get a bit of a read in the wicket, was able to clear the rope and hit it to the fence a few times. I think we saw the way Sodhi bowled. He was able to get a little bit of variable bounce, especially when he bowled a bit slower, and probably made it a little bit harder to time. And I suppose the more you spent out there, you're able to get used to the conditions and then hopefully capitalise on that. Well, I wasn't batting very well right-handed, so I thought I'd try left-handed. It wasn't striking the ball very well at the start, and had to try and get a boundary or two to get into my innings, and was able to hit a couple and get into it.
And how good was it to see Finchie back in form as well?
Yeah, he's been hitting the ball so well in the nets. We knew it was so close, just around the corner. So to see him get runs, it's great to be at the other end and watching him go about his business. He's so important for us, being our captain, and he was awesome tonight.
He was certainly very awesome, as was Glenn Maxwell after his slow start to his inning. So just recapping, Australia were sent into bat. They made 4 for 208. Aaron Finch survived a first ball LBW appeal. Umpire's call kept him at the crease. 69 from 44. Josh Phillippe came in the second over of play. Matty Wade edged one to first slip. He was out for 5. He made 43 from 27. Glenn Maxwell then came in 70 off 31 balls. Marcus Stoinis and Mitch Marsh finished 9 and 6, not out. And in reply, Martin Guptill did make a handy 43 at the top of the order, a Conway 38, but then it just fell away from them. Bowled out for 144, chasing 208. Australia win by 64 runs. New Zealand lead the series 2-1 going into Friday's game number 4. Before we move away from the cricket, David Warner yesterday conceded that maybe he has rushed himself back to play a little bit earlier throughout the summer, getting back into the Boxing Day test from that groin injury. I think it was last week, a bit before. He might have said he's still months away from playing. But he is going to play for New South Wales this week after a couple of cortisone injections. But Dave Warner speaking yesterday, admitting that maybe he did go a little bit early in his return, and then giving an update on where he's currently at with his groin injury.
From an injury perspective, yes. You know, if I'm thinking about myself and the injury, I probably would have said no now. But I did what I felt was best for the team. I'm not going to do further damage. It's just going to be a niggle, as I said, for a while. I'm going to have to just put up with that little bit of pain, and it is what it is. I can't do much about it. You know, the other day I went and had a jab and a cortisone, so I've been running freely. I'm pretty much at 100% running in straight lines. Now it's just about, obviously, the side-to-side lateral movements.
Positive that he is running in straight lines. The side-to-side stuff will come. And for those who say, maybe is he a bit old, should he probably just give it away and recover and then go and play for New South Wales? Well, that's not in Dave Warner's thinking at all.
I'm not thinking of that end date at all. For me, it's about the 2023 World Cup is where, you know, I would like to get to. You know, we've got a good foundation there with the white ball team that we've got a good opportunity to play that and win in India. And I think the core team that's there with the age group as well, it's probably going to be the last for a few of us. And then obviously it's a given that, you know, you just have to call it time, unless you're going to play to your 40, 41. It's time for the new guys to come through in that white ball setup. But from a test cricket point of view, you know, I'd love to play as long as I can.
Not in the not too distant future, we'll see Dave Warner being retired from international cricket. The Sheffield Shield starts tomorrow with Victoria taking on Tasmania. For New South Wales, they'll play against South Australia. That game starts on Saturday. Queensland will take on Western Australia also on Saturday. So three big games of Sheffield Shield cricket to come. Staying in New Zealand, the Australian Diamonds in Game 2 have claimed a victory after a much-discussed loss in Game 1. 45-36. It was set up in the opening half. They led 30-16, and in the opening quarter, there was a run of 7-0, 8-1 at one point during the opening quarter as well. For Stacey Marinkovic, it was her first win as the new Diamonds coach, and straight after the match, she spoke to Channel 9 about the victory.
I think that's the thing. This group is so honest with the way that they review their game. They know and take accountability for their performance. And they knew that we had another level that we could actually step up in terms of our work rate. There's obviously still some execution. And, you know, obviously Silver Ferns came out and played a very good second half. So there's still a lot of room for improvement.
Always room for improvement, but they do draw this Constellation Cup Series 1-1. Liz Watson was installed as the captain for game number 2 after the much-discussed rotational leadership policy throughout this tournament. She was instrumental. 21 assists, 33 circle feeds. She spoke to Channel 9 last night in her debut game as captain with a debut win.
24 hours is a long time in netball. What did you do overnight?
Yeah, I think the first game, we were a little bit hesitant in how we were playing, and I think watching the footage back this morning, it was quite clear where our mistakes were coming, so I think the girls did a really good job to speak about that this morning and actually put it out there on court today.
What was the most pleasing thing about this performance?
I think just the seamless changes that we had. I think we were first onto those loose balls and just create our own momentum, and yeah, that's a pretty significant lead for us, so really happy with that win.
And this is a fairly young and inexperienced side, so how much better can this team get?
Oh, absolutely. I think they're bringing real speed, and I think in that attack end, we are trying to get that moving circle, and that's what those girls bring. That's their strength, and we've designed a game plan around those strengths. So, yeah, I think they're only going to get better.
Just on a personal note for you, how did you find the captaincy and leadership out there?
Yeah, it was really good fun. The girls have been so supportive, and, yeah, it was just an honour today to do that, and glad we got the win.
Glad we got the win indeed. 1-1 in the Constellation Cup. Looking forward to Game 3. Before we do move away from the Diamonds, Kara Konen, a name you may not have heard of all that often with the Australian Diamonds squad. She made her debut in the final quarter of Game 1. And then last night, in her second game, she was announced the player of the match. She was given that honour after the game on Channel 9.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I think second game out there, we got the nerves out last night, so it's good to come away with the win.
You're so young at this international level, you look as though you've been playing there forever.
Oh, thank you. I feel like I'm cool, calm, collected on the outside, but I'm freaking out a little on the inside.
Well, you are our Suncorp player of the match. Tell us a little bit about the intensity out there, because it looked massive in that first quarter.
Yeah, it was huge. I mean, after last night, we definitely wanted to come out and put on a better brand of netball. So we really wanted to stamp our mark on that first quarter. And I think we did that. We just had to weather the storm. And next job is to put together a full 60-minute consistent effort.
What was going through your mind, though, when you could open up that big gap in the first 15?
Keep pushing it out, probably. Yeah, I mean, it was great to be able to get some points on the Silver Ferns. But, yeah, definitely looking to continue pushing on that lead once we've got it.
You haven't played a lot with Kira Austin.
No, not much at all, but I feel like after a few training sessions and the game last night, we're slowly forming that connection, so really excited to see where we can take it.
And a new coach, and for someone who's a newbie into international netball, both of you.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a whole lot of firsts last night. So, yeah, new coach, first game for 2021 and after a really long break. So, yeah, we're kind of just finding our way as we go, and we're building up a brand of netball that we can hopefully be really proud of.
And anything that you're particularly pleased about for yourself?
I think I'm just wrapped in this whole experience. I mean, coming over and spending 2 weeks in quarantine and then putting out some good performances and being able to get one win under our belt, where we're looking to push on from here and get the next two as well.
To get the game time as well?
Yeah, absolutely, totally wrapped. I came in here without any expectations. I think obviously we've got great depth in our squad, and we've got extra players over here as well, so we're constantly pushing each other for selection, which means that we're just pushing each other better, and yeah, hopefully we can get a few more wins.
Kara Konen, the player of the match in her second game for the Australian Diamonds. They won last night 45-36 in Game 2. The Consolation Cup tied at 1-1, a couple of days away now before Game number 3. It is 8 minutes to 6 o'clock on this Thursday morning. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we have got plenty of footy to discuss. The AFL AAMI Community Series kicks off tonight at Marvel Stadium with Carlton and St Kilda. Plus, we'll try and get to the Storm season launch before we throw it over to Daniel Huffett and Adam White at 6 o'clock.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
The pressure that is applied in there and the way that the boys scrap it out and fight to the death is really noticeable, especially when I'm out there with them.
Stephen Martin, the new Dogs ruckman, speaking there. We are 5 minutes to 6 o'clock. The Doggies building up to their pre-season game against Melbourne on Monday, March the 8th. Talking about the depth of Western Bulldogs midfielders that they have. Adam Treloar, Josh Dunkley, Tom Liberatore, Mitch Wallace running through there, Marcus Bontempelli, the list goes on and on. The other thing he did reveal yesterday is he expects himself and Tim English to be playing in the same side for most of the year. So the Dogs to go with two ruckmen throughout the year. So one to keep an eye on for Doggies fans and through midfield watchers. They've got one of the strongest, the deepest in the competition. It all kicks off tonight. The Marsh are the AAMI Community Series. Carlton and St Kilda at Marvel Stadium, Collingwood Richmond tomorrow night. And speaking of the Collingwood Footy Club, Nathan Buckley has spoken to the media for the first time since the Do Better report has been released and revealed. He spoke at length to the AFL website, and he expressed his regret yesterday at failing to properly acknowledge the racist trauma felt by Heredier Lumumba.
Obviously, I've been a part of this club for a long time, so I don't like the fact that people have felt that way, and I've got to listen and learn. We've all got to listen and learn more to the experiences, acknowledge them rather than dismissing them. And there was a presser when I look back in 2017 that it was dismissive, and I needed to be better than that.
Nathan Buckley owning up to his mistakes and needing to be better. He was also asked in that extensive interview about former president now, Eddie Maguire. Scotty Gallen has revealed in the Herald Sun today that he's retreated from his public life with uncertainty increasing over whether he will return to TV. And there are a lot of friends and associates who are concerned about the health of the former Collingwood president, reporting that he might well be in a bad way at the moment. Eddie hurting and healing from needing to stand down effective immediately from the Collingwood presidency earlier this month. Here is the coach of Collingwood when he was asked about his former president.
I think that Ed came to that decision because he felt it was time for him and he felt it was time for the football club. Yes, we will focus on the circumstances around what were the events of the moment or of the day. And I think they are real. But the fact is that everyone's time comes and Ed felt that this was time for him to move on, and he's committed a lot of himself for a long time and the club has been a beneficiary of that for a long period, and it's time for the club to regenerate.
Collingwood will face the Tigers tomorrow night, take on the Bulldogs in round one and hopefully get their season off to the strongest possible start. Geelong, they take on the Bombers at GMHBA Stadium on Saturday night to open up their campaign. It will be the first time we get to see them on the TV, Tom Hawkins and Jeremy Cameron. We know they played together last week in their practice games, but Tom Hawkins has conceded there may well be a couple of teething issues between the two of them as they find their feet inside the forward 50.
Both probably admittedly pretty scratchy. The first quarter was really good. We seemed to be able to move the ball up the field really well. I thought our forward six as a collective were really dynamic. So, I think there's obviously on paper going to be a lot of speculation about Jeremy and probably the other two recruits in Isaac and Sean. I look forward to playing with another quality player in our forward line, but to be frank, I was really impressed with some of the growth in our younger players from last year. Graham Myers, I thought, was outstanding. I was really composed in front of goal when he had the chance. Frank Evans showed some really good signs coming off a somewhat limited pre-season. Sam DeConning I got to play with. Shannon Neal for the first time. So that was probably as exciting as anything. Sort of playing down my excitement levels of playing with a star in Jeremy, but I was really impressed with the forward line as a collective. I expect us to both be able to fit in and play well together. It may take time getting used to slight variations of how we play, but honestly, my opinion is we play very very different. So there'll be. Some growing pains initially for us. Our first inside 50 on the weekend, I was in the skinny space. Pat took the mark in front of the grandstand side over this side, and I actually went back and got in Jeremy's way, bumped into him, and then he managed to mark the footy still. So there'll be a few teething issues like there is with any forward line at the start of the year, but I expect that we'll be okay.
We'll get to see the Cats on Saturday night, that two-pronged attack. That's all we have time for this Thursday morning. Johnny Bowden has all the latest news, and then Daniel Harford and Adam White have put together their best show of the week. It's coming up very shortly. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 5:30 on RSN 927, bringing you the latest edition of The Breakfast Bite, where we'll be talking about Carlton St Kilda in the footy and looking ahead to a weekend of AFL action. Have a great day, and we'll do it all again tomorrow.